Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Monday. It is the 11th of January, 2021. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Jeff Butts. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, what's happening? Thanks for having me.
Well, we're going to talk about what's happening in a minute. Also with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Kelly. It's going to be a
Yeah, that's great. So as we mentioned last week, this week is CES. We're going to have a bunch of coverage of it. You're going to be able to find out all kinds of interesting things. But one of the interesting things about CES itself is that it has sort of slowly expanded, as we talked about last week with Dave Hamilton, to include a little bit of stuff that happens before CES and a little bit of stuff that happens after. So CES used to be about 3 days in Las Vegas, and this year it seems like it might be up to maybe even like 3 weeks, because I think there was stuff that people were even introducing sort of in the name of CES late last year. So we're going to talk a little bit about some of that, because Jeff, you got to see from Samsung a very interesting robotic vacuum that we were going to talk about.
Yeah, they actually talked about it this morning. You know, today is media day for CES, and one of the presentations was by Samsung, and they introduced their own take on the robotic vacuum, the JetBot 90 AI Plus.
Okay,
is what they call it. Horrible name, in my opinion, but what it does is pretty cool.
Okay.
You know, your typical Roomba or Dyson robotic vacuum, you know, it's pretty neat. It'll map out your house and figure out where it's supposed to go. But Samsung is taking that a couple steps further. They're introducing artificial intelligence into it. They're using LiDAR scanning, which, you know, we've already seen. It's become an almost household name, I think, with the iPhone 12 Pro's camera. And, you know, this can actually not only detect where things are spatially, but whether they were there before.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, whether it's something that needs to be cleaned up.
LiDAR can, but software using LiDAR.
The software using it can, correct. Yeah. Yeah. That's you said what I meant.
Fair enough. I also just wanted to quickly point out that LiDAR is on mini vacuums. I've had an EcoVax one for several years that has LiDAR.
Okay. So the difference here is more in what they're doing with it and how they're integrating with it. Incorporating the artificial intelligence. In the presentation, they showed an instance where a dog was running across a table and chasing a cat, knocked some food off onto the floor, and the vacuum was able to detect exactly where the dropped food was, clean that up and nothing else, and then go away.
Interesting. But okay.
There's something even cooler. This thing also has its own camera. So, as well as sensors that talk to the app. So, if your dog starts barking, it can alert you. And you can send this robot vacuum to go and some would say terrorize your dog or your cat. But actually look and see what's going on so that you know if it's something you have to address. They're billing it as more than just hands-free cleaning, but also a companion for your pets, because it can detect what's happening, and then with the camera you can see what's going on and see if it's something you need to rush home and take care of.
Okay. Or in some cases rush across the house and take care of.
But you also mentioned before we started recording that it would detect a mess that's been made, like, say, I think their example was like a bag of rice.
Yep.
And then clean that up for you.
Yeah.
Detecting that there was a problem and then dealing with the problem.
Right. That's what I got out of it. That's what I was talking about a minute ago. It can actually see the stuff that's there that wasn't there before and go straight to that, you know, pile of rice and vacuum that up and nothing else.
Now, I'm guessing other people who have seen the internet are wondering what I'm wondering, which is, of course, like, what if the problem is, what if the mess is that your dog pooped on the floor? There's a all kinds of hilarious horror stories about vacuums,
right?
Dragging that across around the house. Did they address that?
They did not. No, they didn't talk about that. But yeah, I've seen the videos. I've seen the aftermath. But you know, I can say that, you know, hopefully it can tell the difference between a dry mess and a wet mess. But I can't say that it for sure can.
Right. I hope that they did that. Of course, it may. Does it ask you? You mentioned that you can send it.
Yeah.
So is it going to ask for permission before it cleans? Because if it's going to do that, then that would solve that problem.
I'm pretty sure that it does. You know, because it pings your phone to let you know that something happens. It doesn't just do it totally autonomously without talking to you first. It pings your phone and lets you know, and then you can send it to take care of it.
Hmm.
But I mean, that's not going to do anything about, you know, when you have it scheduled to go at a certain time and your dog has pooped on the floor and it can't tell the difference. You know, as long as it can tell the difference, then it's going to avoid that.
I was asking more in the context of the fact that it is designed to actually investigate something like a dog barking.
Well, yeah.
Or a commotion.
And maybe I misspoke, because it won't automatically go investigate it. It will let you know that it happened,
that it's okay.
Noise.
I see. That makes sense.
And then you can send it to go investigate. Right. And it's got a camera, so you can see what it finds.
Right.
Okay.
Does it have a mopping mechanism too?
It does not look like it, and they didn't show anything like that. It looks to me like it's just a vacuum. It's also bigger than any of the other vacuums I've seen.
Is that good or bad?
It just is.
it's going to be a little bit of both, I think. Because if you want it to be able to get under some tables, it won't be able to do that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure.
You know, a table with a bottom shelf, you know, my old robotic vacuum could easily fit under there and not get stuck.
Well, all right. So you say bigger. Do you actually mean taller?
Taller.
Or is it also bigger around?
It might be. No, I don't think it's much bigger around, although it could be. I don't have the exact dimensions, but it's definitely taller. And
is the LiDAR unit probably sticks up. EcoVax device, which I have appreciated, would not fit under my previous bed. I have had a very, very low to the floor bed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's because of the LiDAR unit.
Yeah,
this makes sense to me.
This isn't just a straight, you know, just a normal disc like most of them are. It's actually square with the disc inside the motor and the vacuum unit. So like the LiDAR sensor and the camera are in this disc that fits inside it's more of a square base, if you will.
Okay. Interesting. All right. So there have been a fair number of robotic vacuums out in the world now. So it's interesting to find that there are still some, I think. It's still interesting to find that there are some that can do more than we've already seen. So that's going to be kind of interesting. So briefly, Jeff, if you could spend a minute and talk to us about one of the other things that you saw, but we're just going to be brief about it. So,
Okay. Well, they also have a couple of new robots coming out. Intelligent robotics is what they're calling it.
Okay.
One basically provides you with a third hand, and it can actually pick up items and bring them to you. He actually had to bring him a glass of water. The video also shows it loading a dishwasher. And the other is like a personal assistant that reminds you when it's time to walk around, brings you your a video tablet when you have a video conference coming up. So a couple cool things in robotics that, you know, it looks a lot like Tony Stark's workshop and not so much like your house.
I would definitely like to, for my house to look more like Tony Stark's workshop. So this might be a plus.
Oh, I would too. I would like my house to look more like Tony Stark's house.
I think we all would.
The thing about robots and what makes me most interested in this is we're way on the early edge of robots being a part of our daily lives. And mm-hmm. you know, robots are, I've seen many stories about how robots are more prevalent and capable in, say, Japan. Mm-hmm. But above and beyond that, or even in terms of Japan today, we are so at the you know, bleeding edge of where this is going to go. And robots are so relatively incapable compared to where they will be in, you know, 5 years, maybe sooner, but five or, you know, let alone 10 years. Same thing with robot vacuums. Robot vacuums are a very, very useful device. And the more capable they get, the more ubiquitous they will become, and the more we will wonder how we lived life without them. Mm-hmm. At least those of us who first world concept, perhaps.
And, go ahead, Jeff. And this one with the hand. You know, when I talked about it before, I talked about it looking like Butterfingers, the robotic hand that Tony Stark has. But I also look at it and I think if they remade the Jetsons in 2021, this is what Rosie would look like.
Oh, okay.
You know, their robotic housekeeper. This is what she would look like, I think.
Very interesting.
Yeah. We'll have to see where that goes. So I want to take a minute here at the end of the show, and I want to talk about something that sort of came out of a conversation I had with a friend of mine, and that was Allison Sheridan. So people who don't know, she has a podcast called the Nozilla Cast. It's been around for ages. If you're not listening to it, maybe check it out. She is a huge accessibility proponent and does a lot of like presentations and things about it, and has been known to do presentations where she will stand at the podium and put her hands behind her back and control her iPhone or her iPad without touching it at all, or put on a blindfold and be able to navigate through things on her phone without being able to see anything, showing what the accessibility options are that are available and what's possible if you don't interact with your phone in a, we'll call it a standard way. I asked her, because I have a friend who has a temporary mobility condition. This isn't long term, but was having a hard time managing his phone because he screwed up his arm and his hand and wasn't able to operate his phone successfully. So it was easy for him to go, "Hey lady, call Kelly on speaker," and be able to navigate that. But if somebody called him, it was hard for him to answer the phone. Like, nigh impossible would be, I guess, how I'd present that. So I went, well, if anybody's going to know the answer to this, it's Allison. So I went to Allison and I was like, "Hey, do you know how to answer your iPhone if it rings and you can't touch it?" And she went, "Well, there has to be a way. I never thought about it." So of course, that's a thing that should be able to happen. So she texted me later and went, "So far, I haven't found anything. This is weird." So she was looking for a longer term solution. I was looking for something temporary for my friend, and she was looking for, like, how could this be possible for people who it's not a temporary situation? Like, I am never able to do that. So she's friends with Darren Carr, who is a quadriplegic person. He goes by the Mac Quad. And she asked him, how do you do this? And he texted her back and said, I usually just yell, will somebody answer my phone for me? And while that's great, the way Allison put it, she wrote this up, and there's going to be a link to it in the show notes. And the way she wrote it up was, obviously, that's not the high-tech solution we seek. So she's right. looking for something you can do with that. And the reason this was interesting was because there's two things that we discovered in wading through accessibility preferences that I think might be helpful for some folks. So the first is, I mean, the obvious answer was, hey, lady, answer the phone. That doesn't work. But there's an auto answer option. So if you always have a hard time getting to your phone before it goes to voicemail or whatever, there's auto answer that you can turn on. And then there's also something called call audio routing. And you can set it so that, like, by default, it will go to your Bluetooth headset or to your speaker. It'll answer on speakerphone. So if you always want to answer your phone on speaker, you have that option to set that choice so that when your phone gets answered, like, automatically it'll be on speakerphone instead of, you know, in the ear speaker where you hold it up to your head, you know, or whatever.
Now, does that also work for placing calls? Because I haven't found a way to get the lady to automatically put my phone on speakerphone when I tell her to make a call.
There is. And what you do is you say, hey, lady, call Jeff on speaker.
Oh, okay.
And she'll do it.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah, I wanted to do that once and didn't think about it and did that and it worked. And then I did that for a friend of mine, like the two of us were together. And wanted to call a different person. And I went, hey, call blah on speaker. And he went, oh, my God, I didn't know that was a thing. And so there's, like, the bonus tip is that you can tell the lady to do it on speaker. But also, like, it was the call routing that I thought was interesting. And there's a number of options in listed that Allison found for ways that people can do this. But voice control was also another one where, which we saw with iOS 13. So at WWDC last year, when they had the video showing how people can navigate around because they sort of grid up the screen and, like, everything has a number. And then, so you just say, like, activate one, I think it is, something like that. You can tell her stuff and then she can do things that way. So so Allison has a bunch of options that are available for this that you can use. You can also set up your HomePod or your HomePod mini to answer calls automatically, which is also can be kind of handy. So anyway, definitely go check those out. And part of it was just because, much like Allison, I'm always interested in what interesting things you can do with the accessibility part of iOS. And so you can go find out, some of the other things there, and there may be something there that makes it very handy for you to answer a call, when you can't pick up your phone and tap the button or slide, you know, to answer the phone. There may be something interesting
there
for you.
There's no way to do that in shortcuts.
Not easily that we could find because of the limits on what you can do with your phone while it's ringing or while you're on a call. There's some stuff that doesn't work as well that way. So, like, the lady doesn't listen when you're on the phone, when you're, like, in the middle of a call, she doesn't listen for her name. So things like that.
That's unlike a woman. Sorry. That was terrible.
Now, wow.
I'm right here.
That's going to hit the cutting room floor.
Now I have to edit. Thanks, Jeff. Anyway, I just wanted to point that out. Like I said, it can make for the accessibility piece applied in a new way can sometimes make it easier for somebody to use their phone in particular circumstances or something. And that can be sometimes pretty useful. So it was full of tips. And because it was sort of my fault, Allison ended up down this rabbit hole. I feel like I should take some responsibility for that. But also point out that there were a few things that came out of that were sort of interesting to discover. So that's going to do it for us today. Jeff, I was going to say thanks for being here, but you're here. Yeah, I'm not going to anymore. So I'm just going to acknowledge you were here and you came and talked to us about stuff you saw at CES. I'm glad we had that conversation. Brian, thanks. Thanks so much for coming by.
Yes, Kelly. Good to be here. Thanks for having us. Happy to be here.
Is that Casey
Kasem? Drive time.
I'm always glad to have Brian Morning Zoo Chaffin on my show. I'm your host, Kelly. Come on. I don't know how we got here either. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other and let's be careful out there.